This podcast is part of the Power of Podcasting Network. Find it at powerofpodcasting.com. Changing the world, one download at a time.
Welcome to the Podcast Rodeo Show. I'm your host, Dave Jackson, from the School of Podcasting.com. This is where we grab a random podcast and see how long we can hang on. Then I take my 14 years of podcasting experience and give you an honest first impression. Today, we're taking a second look at the Working Cows podcast. Their description in Apple Podcasts says, "The Working Cows podcast gives you something to think about as you seek to maximize the effectiveness of your cattle operation and the joy your family receives from this lifestyle." Their website is workingcows.net. And the last time we reviewed them, it was a solo show. And now they're saying, hey, this was an interview and we'd like some feedback. So we'll get to that right after this.
The following is an opinion, and only an opinion. These are actual, honest first impressions. If you don't like the opinion, feel free to never listen again.
All right, let's get our cow on. Here we go.
Working Cows Podcast, episode 100.
Welcome to the podcast that gives producers a platform to discuss and share paradigm-challenging practices. Practices that have increased the effectiveness of their operation and the joy that their families have received from this lifestyle.
There we go. Lenny Kravitz imitation.
Howdy, everybody. It's Clay Connery, host of the Working Cows podcast. We made it to episode 100. Really appreciate all the support and all the feedback and so much great interaction with you guys through the different channels, and I hope that it continues. Glad to have Burke Tigert here with us today. Burke is known for managing some of the largest ranches in North America.
Cool.
And has done it successfully at a high level for a long time. And so today I wanted to sit down with him.
Nice.
And pick his brain for a little bit. So
good Burke, introduction.
Thanks for joining me today on the Working Cows podcast.
It's a pleasure. Glad to be with you.
So I would like to understand if you were found yourself at
nice
a
audio
ranching event, continuing education event, so to speak, and you walked past a group of people and you happened to hear one of them say, you know, it's hard to find good help these days. I think you're known for hiring the best people. And so how would you respond, or what would you be thinking if you heard someone say that?
Well, there are a lot of thoughts that come to mind. First is that I think the word, when you talk about hiring help, the word help becomes demeaning. I think you want to hire team members if you can.
Nice.
And I think we still can. It has never been easy. It has never been easy to hire the right people and people that can make good team members and help your operation move forward. I've made a lot of mistakes, and I think I got better over time through interview process, etc., in finding and placing better people with our operations, but it just never was easy. And I think we try to depend too much on finding somebody that's ready made, and they're probably not there. I think I have had some reputation of just hiring better people. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think we just hired people. And then we tried to have a system or a method of development that helped those people become what they could become.
Good answer.
Not sure that we as a group were a lot smarter than everyone else or a lot better. I just think we came to a system that helped us all get better.
And I like this guy.
Forward And we developed a shared vision that helped us all move together simultaneously and work to help each other grow. I guess one step further that I might make a statement on there is that I get a little aggravated when I hear people say, hire this guy and he doesn't see anything that needs to be done. And then when he does see it, he doesn't know how to do it. And I want to suggest Did you ever tell him what you wanted him to do? What you wanted him to look for? Did you ever train him, show him how to do it? If we're managing at a level above the common and the ordinary, which is what we should be trying to do, any new employee deserves to be trained, and it's unfair to them not to train them. And so I think that becomes a big issue. We expect to find people ready-made, and there are a few, and I was fortunate to hire some of those. But most that we hired were not ready-made. They had to become.
So I guess I want to go back just a little bit to something you said earlier about making mistakes. Would you say that the worst, I guess, managerial mistakes you've made have been in the area of hiring people, or are there other areas that you would say maybe are more important or bigger mistakes that would trump the things you've done as far as hiring people?
All right. So I like the beginning. I love the intro. I love that you quickly kind of came in and said, thanks for the support. You got right to the owner of this guy. You explained why you had him on. This guy is a big, big rancher. He is an official big shot smarty pants rancher. You bring him on and the guy is completely transparent. That is awesome. To me, it's a great word. I just can't say it. Vulnerability. Being vulnerable, there we go, let's try that, just like I did, is something people can adhere to, because it's, let's think about the know-it-all. Let's think about the absolute know-it-all. Never says they're wrong. That person is kind of obnoxious, but when you get somebody who is a big shot smarty pants and they go, you know what, I wasn't always that good, now I can start to identify with that person. So all in all, and then I love the fact that the minute the guy got done with his first question, you came back and you caught what he said, mistakes. And that's what, again, that's the thing that caught my ear. I was like, wow, that's cool. That guy said he didn't do everything right. And you went back and said, hey, and you started to do one of my new pet peeves, which is giving people multiple choice, which is, what were your biggest mistakes? Was it hiring people? Was it buying the wrong cows? Was it blah, blah, blah? Now, the best question is, hey, you mentioned mistakes. What are some of your biggest mistakes? What are some of the things you've done that you feel are your biggest mistakes? And that's how you rounded out that question. You started with a multiple choice. Like, was it hiring people or blah, 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 blah? So you smooth that out. I think the best answer comes from a very open-ended, you know, what do you feel were some of your biggest mistakes? I see so many people will ask that question. They'll go, what were some of your biggest mistakes? And then there'll be this awkward pause, because that's a big open-ended question and the person has to think about it. And so it'll be like, what were your biggest mistakes? I mean, like, where was it? And then you feel you can't handle that awkward pause and you go, was it buying the wrong cows? Was it using the wrong feed? Was it hiring the wrong people? No, just let them think about it. And you can always edit that pause out. But on the other hand, what I do a lot of time with really long pauses, I will cut them in half. Like, let's say somebody paused for a second. Now, a second is a long time. You ready? That was a second. And so I might cut that in half, or I might just leave it in. But all in all, I like the way where you're going. I'm going to show you one thing. One thing you can do with phone calls is pull some of the mid out of them. So like, go into an equalizer and just pull out some of the things that make you sound kind of nasal. So I'm not saying this is what you needed to do. I just want to show it here. So I'm going to grab some of that guy talking and show you what it sounds like with and without the mids.
If we're managing at a level above the common and the ordinary, which is what we should be trying to do,
And so I went in there about the 1K, about 1,000 hertz, and just really took it out. And then I boosted up the bass a little bit just to get a little warmer sound and actually cut out some of the higher end. That guy kind of had a little bit of whistling S's. And again, I'm not saying your audio was bad. It sounded like the phone, and it's always going to sound like the phone, even with pulling out the mids. But that's another way just to make it a little more warmer. So if you would like your podcast right here on the Podcast Rodeo Show, simply go out to podcastrodeoshow.com. Click on the Fiverr button. And if you want an absolutely full review of your show, not just the beginning, we're talking the middle and the end, not just the content, but the audio quality. I go in and dig into that. And not just your audio quality, but your actual website and the flow and your goals. It's every single inch of your podcast. Go out to Podcast Review Show. And it's not just me. It's 30-year radio veteran Eric K. Johnson, better known as the Podcast Talent Coach. It is a phenomenal deal for $99. Plus, you get on the Podcast Review Show. Plus, you get on my YouTube channel. Check it out, podcastreviewshow.com/review me. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com reminding you to always enjoy your ride. So the episode's over, and you and I were in line right now at like a convenience store, and I had a bottle of Coke. Would you put mine on the tab? Well, you can do that now. Go to podcastrodeoshow.com/thanks. It's just a way of saying, hey, Dave, great show. Thanks. I double dog dare you. podcastrodeoshow.com/thanks.